Have any more prayer requests? I can have a couple people help me with communion. Paul told us to discern the body of Christ, and the way we do that is to look and see this as the body. Literally, you can look at this bread and identify different things about Jesus in this bread. Number one, it's made without yeast. Jesus' body was sinless and still is. Yeast is significant of sin in the Bible. So they took this sinless body, and this is the reason he could trade places with us. It was illegal for Satan to put him on that cross because he never broke the law. Here's another interesting thing about that. When you broke the law, you got punished. You either got scourged or you got crucified. But never both. So Jesus got both. And you look here, there's stripes in this bread. And it's by his stripes we were healed. That was his scourging. And this bread has been pierced. Jesus' body was pierced. And everywhere he shed his blood, we got redemption for it in some area. Also, this bread is slightly burned. That means the full wrath of God's fiery judgment. That judgment that was meant for us was laid on Jesus. So Jesus, he took our place so that we could take his. And his body was broken. And we're taking this for our healing. We're doing it on purpose and releasing our faith in it. The shed blood of Jesus has completely cleansed us from all sin. It may not feel like it sometimes, but that's the truth in the Word of God. This blood has made you as white as wool. Also, this blood is for our protection, and this blood, it is because of this blood that we can boldly enter into the throne room of grace and receive mercy and grace in time of need. And this blood has made us the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I mean, you're in right standing with God. It's as if nothing, that everything that was wrong between you and God before you got born again got washed away by the blood of Jesus. Now you're his favorite child. Well, open up your Bibles to Romans chapter 3, verse 19, and we'll start there. I know if you've ever been anywhere in this country, at some point or another, somebody has given you some little thing, somebody to be out witnessing, you know, they give you some little booklet, and it talks about these different things, you know, their whole spiel on trying to get you born again and all this stuff. We're going to look at that from the Bible, and we're going to see some curious things that you really, really need to see. But Romans chapter 3, verse 19, where we're going to start at. And by the way, if you're ever in a pinch and you need to show somebody, at some point you're going to witness to somebody and they're going to say, let me see that in the Bible. Here it is, right here. Romans chapter 3, verse 19 says, now we know that whatsoever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Now, let's stop right there for just a second, because there's a lot we just covered. The law was impossible to keep. Absolutely impossible to keep. And if any man has an honest bone in his body, he'll admit that he cannot keep the law. You can't. Even the Pharisees drug the law down to such a degree that they thought they could keep it. And then when they confront Jesus with the law, he would raise the standard back up there where it belonged so they could see that they couldn't play that game. Okay? You can't save yourself. Amen? Now we'll carry on here. Who God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say at this time, the righteousness that he might be just and the justifier of him which believes in Jesus. Where is boasting then? It is excluded by what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also, seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcision by faith and uncircumcision through faith. Do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid, we establish the law. Now, you're not going and picking up the Old Testament law. Then, you know, when you get born again, there's three laws you need to be concerned with. The law of faith, the law of love, the law of liberty. Those three laws are your laws. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty that you've been placed in. You do have a law of faith, a law of liberty, and a law of love. Amen? Now, let's look at the first point that these people will make, and it's definitely one that you want to establish with somebody when you're witnessing to somebody. But in verse 23, it says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." And most people, they already know it. They know they've blown the deck. The house of cards is wide open. They know that they've just completely floundered in this area. They've all sinned. I ran into one guy one time that said he only committed two sins. I said, "Dude, are you serious?" He was trying to keep the law and all this stuff, and I said, "Come on, you got to get realistic." He was so closed-minded, so he just wasn't going to hear it. But most of the time, people will admit that they've blown the cards wide open, you know. And most of us will admit that they got one fire in the gates of hell. You know, one foot in the fire already. You know, they're just waiting to get sucked in. They're just hoping something happens. You know, so when somebody comes and preaches them the gospel and they find out they don't have to go to hell, their hand goes up. I'm honest enough to tell you that's why I got born again, because I didn't want to go to hell. I didn't know anything else, but I knew I didn't want to go to hell. Out of curiosity, what was the first thing that turned your head towards God? Was it somebody telling you about the law, telling you you had to do this, had to do that, had to do this? Or was it somebody saying, you know, Jesus died on the cross for your sins? It wasn't the law that turned you around. It was grace that turned you around. That's what got a hold of me. Yeah, I've been told a lot of times I was going to hell. But when somebody said you didn't have to go to hell because Jesus took care of that for you, that got my attention. Look at Galatians chapter 3, verse 22. All under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. You notice that word given? Not paid, not earned, but freely given to them that believe. It already tells us everybody's under sin. We need a way out. And Jesus is the only way. Now let's go to the second point. We'll find that in verse 19. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it says to them who are under the law, that every mouth might be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. There was something about Jesus, you know, when the Pharisees and the scribes would come and start telling him about the law, you know, they're used to bullying their way around and shoving people around and telling them all this stuff. But they would remind Jesus about the law, and Jesus would remind them about the full truth of the law, and they would go away dumbfounded. They would stop talking. They would have nothing more to say. You notice how many times he shut them up? He'd ask them a question. He was giving them an answer by asking them a question, and then they just stopped talking. And they go away. Look at John chapter 10, verse 34. John chapter 10, verse 34 says, Jesus answered them, is it not written in your law? I said, you're gods? What was Jesus doing? He was reminding them of the law that these guys had memorized. These guys would come ask him something, and he'd ask him a question. Is it not written in the law? They knew the answer, but what they were doing was basically they were reading what they believed instead of believing what they read. That's why they come down to low degree of the law for themselves, but then they added a whole bunch of other rituals on the people that they brought in. It sounds like Congress. Passing laws that the people have to keep, but they don't. I ran into people that have suffered that way in churches. You know, I'd run into them and I'd say, what's up with you? And they'd say, man, I ain't having nothing to do with church. I'm not going in there. I said, why? I said, I can't live like that. So that pastor tells me to do this and do that and do this and do that. Said, you know what? They beat me to the liquor store. And then, you know, they just start telling me all these stories about everything else that happened. They said, they tell me to live this way, and then they don't. What they're doing is preaching the law. They're preaching sin, and preaching the law to people, and they can't keep with themselves. No wonder people get mad, get frustrated. And for some reason, people like that. I was talking to a lady one time. They were going to get a new pastor. And I said, well, you know, the old one went away. And they said, we're getting a new one. He preaches sin. They're excited about this. And I thought, why don't we find a preacher that preaches grace? Let's go to the next point here. In verse 20, Romans chapter 3, verse 20, therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. Now that's a biggie. That's one of the most important verses that you'll ever get impressed upon you, or you can ever impress on anybody else. The church has got to get a grasp on this verse. For by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified. It sounds simple enough, doesn't it? But there's people that are getting on their knees every time they turn around asking God to forgive them so that they can somehow get back in favor with God. Then the Bible just say, by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified. There's people going to confession every Sunday, asking God to forgive them. Is it your confession that cleanses your sins away, or is it the blood of Jesus that washes you clean? Only the blood of Jesus. Amen? Then there's another group of people that think massive amounts of service work will somehow get them favor with God. No. Service work is good. Service work is a blessing to the church. But you're already favored. You're already blessed and highly favored with God the minute you get born again. Amen. We got another group of people says, my God, if I bring all my tithes and all my offerings and put them in the plate, God has to bless me. God has already blessed you. That's why you put tithes and offerings in the plate. Amen? God will be a debtor to no man. Now, he'll take that blessing and he'll multiply it back to you. We got to get your heart right here about this. We do bring tithes and offerings into the storehouse. But it's because he's already blessed us that we can give. Amen? This will set somebody free. I mean, sometimes you got to fight things through a little bit spiritually. Sometimes it's a spiritual battle. You know, you get taught a certain way for so many years, you get these spiritual strongholds in your mind, and it's hard to get those broke. You know, Satan has some tricky ways of twisting the scripture, and people will teach things a certain way out of a pure heart but it's still twisted. Here's another part here we got to look at in that verse 20. We're righteous because of the blood of Jesus, period. But by the law is the knowledge of sin. Without the law, you wouldn't even know about sin. You know, if that law wasn't there, you wouldn't know it was wrong. And Paul even said that, and he was a Pharisee of Pharisees. But it's hard to understand just how basic that is. My friend had a fishing pond. He had a little pond right by the highway. This is right there. Anybody driving down that road could look out there and see that pond. And he ran around telling everybody, go out there and get those fish. There's too many in there. We got to get them out of there. Go out there and catch those fish. And nobody go fishing. So he put up a no fishing sign. And he couldn't keep them out of there. People won't break the law if they don't know there's a law to be broke. So did you see that now? That should be pretty clear. By the law is the knowledge of sin. That's how come we know it's wrong, because somebody told us. Now look at Galatians chapter 2, verse 16. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. By the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. So there it is again. We believe in Jesus and what he did on his cross. We believe in his shed blood. What he did, that's what justifies us. Actually, the thing about justification is you can't be justified until you've been judged. Have you ever thought about that? In order to be justified, you first have to be judged. There are people wandering around waiting for God, for this judgment day of God, and they're worried. They're scared to death because they don't understand that God already judged every single one of your sins when he put them on Jesus on that cross. And then he justified you freely by his grace when he raised Jesus back to life. Amen? You've been justified. Justified, never sinned. As if nothing ever happened. That's how good the shed blood of Jesus is. He did a perfect work in you. He got it all. He sets you free. Now go back up to verse 20. By the law is the knowledge of sin. We talked about the fishing pond. We know that what we're doing is wrong. You know, people still have a conscience. You know, I ran into people that might have just a sliver of conscience left. And these were some dangerous people. You know, there wasn't much bothered them. Human life wasn't all that important to them. Those guys had slipped to this point where they didn't have much conscience left. But most everybody has some conscience. They know right from wrong, one way or another. You know, a lot of times they get taught what is right. That maybe this thing is right, but it's actually wrong. And then they get taught that this thing is wrong, but it's actually right. You know, not everything we learn is the truth. Have you ever wondered about that? A lot of people need to start wondering about that. You know, people just believe stuff they hear all the time. You know, some politician will say something to them and they'll say, oh, well, okay, that's the way it is. And that's the way it is. They'll just act like maybe they don't have any civil liberties at all. So we went through all of that, find out, you know, that all have been judged, all have been found guilty under sin, that nobody can save themselves, there's nothing we can do to earn it. We know that what we've been doing is wrong. So what do? To make it right? Go to Romans chapter 10, verse 9. See, all too many times, people will tell people what's wrong. People already know what's wrong. They'll be convicted of it, but they won't show them the answer. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. That's how we get born again. That's how we get born again. That's the answer. That's the answer people are looking for. When I was in the big cities, one of my favorite targets for witnessing to people were those guys wearing crosses. I go grab their cross and I say, is this a good luck charm or do you really know the Lord Jesus as your Lord and Savior? I say, I've been hoping somebody would tell me something. I'm serious. The cross is a luck charm to a lot of people. They don't know Jesus. They want to know him. They want something. The world wants something. Have you ever wondered how come there's so many people going to the occult? How many people are looking towards the satanic movement? Have you ever wondered why they were doing that? Because deep inside of every single human being on the face of this planet is a spirit. And every single spirit has had contact with the miracle working God, the supernatural. Their spirit came out of a supernatural realm. That spirit is on the inside of them. And they crave the supernatural. So they start looking at the churches. And for the most part, the churches are sitting on their hands. See, they're led by their five natural senses. And they look at the church, they don't see something. They don't hear something. So they look over here, and here's this occult guy that did something weird, but they seen something. Did you know that the devil can operate in the supernatural too? But he caught their attention. So then they get sucked into that. Because they seen something. The church needs to get out there into the community and operate in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. The church has been trying to operate in the gifts of the Holy Spirit inside the building instead of out there where it needs to be used. A lot of times people tell me, said they want to see the gift of the Holy Spirit in operation in the church. They're not talking about in the body of Christ out there. They're talking about in the building, in here. God's talking about in the body of Christ out there. That's when it gets fun. I got to do a little bit of that yesterday. It was pretty fun. The guy was looking at me like a deer caught in the headlight, but he got a message from God. I never seen the guy before in my life. But he got it. But that's what we're supposed to do. The only thing is you got to be willing to be used by the Holy Spirit. Amen? But here's how we got born again. So we went through all the stuff. So next Sunday we'll pick up there. You know, it's one thing to get a man born again. But it's another thing to get him on solid ground so he has some kind of defense against the wolves that will come. And some of those wolves will be pastors. I hate to say that, but, you know, pastors wasted a lot of time coming up harassing me. And then after I got born again, they wasted a lot of time trying to convince me that I wasn't born again because I didn't do it right. I didn't say it right. I was standing in the water. God didn't hear the prayer of sinners. You know, the excuses were innumerable. But this is why. Get them born again, but then give them something to stand on. Amen. Let them know what happened to them at the new birth. Amen. Okay, so we'll get that next Sunday. So, Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus. We thank you for everything that Jesus has done for us in his death, burial, and resurrection. When he washed away our sins. When he justified us freely by his grace. When he rose back to life. And became our high priest, who is standing at the right hand of God, making intercession for us, his saints. And we thank you for everything that he will do for us when he completes our redemption, completes our salvation. When we see him face to face as he is, we'll be forevermore with him. In Jesus' name we thank you for this. Amen. Well, we have some snacks and some fellowship back here. My wife made a quiche with fresh roasted chilies. So, everybody come on back and visit a little bit, fellowship. Have a snack.